You know, the politician to watch over the next 2 years is probably not Hillary Clinton and her quest to win the White House. It's probably not the receding Barack Obama, whose legacy will be measured and debated between now and 2017. It is probably not even Russia's Vladimir Putin, whose capacity for provocation and mischief has puzzled even some of his closest allies. The one to watch is probably the leader of India, Prime Minister Narendra Modi. In a grand new novel about India's place in the world, author Amit Chaudhry's Odysseus Abroad tells a tale of India's place between East and West, ancient and modern, and uniquely to India, a land emerging from its noisy history of many gods and many flags. In a conversation about his nation and his novel, writer Chaudhry says India and its leader Narendra Modi have to see the past as a command to always confidently look to the future.
My novel comes out from a different intellectual history within India, which is also very, very powerful, one which has been marginalized now, especially with nationalists and, unfortunately, even the liberals unable to speak of India except in nationalist terms, in a sense. You know, I mean, they will end up talking about India, even the liberals. They might end up talking about a secular India, but it's still, you know, the wonder of India, etc. Instead of being provocative in the sense that there is no clear definition of what India is, you know. Let's not try and kind of reduce it to certain kind of markers. Now, with Modi, with people like Modi, I mean, they are basically European reactionaries in Indian in Indian guise, and taken to absurd levels.
He's
Thatcher. He's also, you know, he's also an Indian. He's also a European positivist. I mean, for instance. Sometimes it's what he says sounds absurdly kind of like a parody of a positivist's and realist's understanding of Indian culture. I'll tell you what I mean. Like he said recently, Ganesh, you know, the elephant-headed god. Ganesh in the Mahabharata was possible because we had plastic surgeons in those days. You know, Ganesh is a proof, that plastic surgery existed in ancient India. And one of his colleagues said, the flying chariots in the Mahabharata, the Ramayana, are proof that there were aeroplanes in ancient India. Now, at first, this sounds completely, you know, like a lunatic sort of speaking.
Yes, indeed.
Indeed it is. But one has to see the positivism behind it. That is, Ganesh isn't of interest as a metaphor, as a character, as a poetic symbol. He's only of interest if he can be explained in scientific and verifiable terms. So in that sense, Modi is a realist gone wild. You know, when he goes to the epics, he's looking for science and reality. He's not looking for poetry. And that's why he speaks about Ganesh in that way. In that sense, he's a child of the European Renaissance, that he's obsessed with realism and with the real.
Can India lead through such a character? Is he a transition to an India that essentially embraces a world culture without the limitations of nationalism that have so hobbled the 20th century?
The problem of us not completely understanding the eclecticism of India's relationship to world culture and its own culture and its constant reinvention of those things in the last 150 years doesn't lie only with the BJP, but it lies with liberals and the left, who often haven't engaged with the nature of Indian modernity. Having said that, I mean, Modi is not a static figure caught in one moment in time, and especially that moment in time that often defines him, the riots, the pogrom in Gujarat in 2002, where many Muslims died, thousands of Muslims died. Right now, it seems to me that he is undergoing a makeover in the sense of wanting to be only identified with a kind of Thatcherite, aggressive, free market capitalism.
So finally, if we were to look back from 100 years in the future, or 50 years even in the future, would it be the success of any individual powerful figure in India that would be the most important story, or the success of India's democracy itself? Is that really the story that may end up defining the 21st century on some level?
Success of Indian democracy. I mean, one can't completely run that down. It is a remarkable feat because, as has been said before, Indian democracy gave voting rights to everybody, like the peasant, of course, women, So it, again, it makes, we've sort of mentioned the word multifarious before. Again, it makes for a very multifarious fabric, whatever its limitations. But I think India needs to recuperate its own traditions much more than it has, including its modern traditions. So it hasn't engaged properly with what happened in the time of modernity in India. Just science, I mean, you know, even science, Modi talks about plastic surgeons in the time of, in mythic times. But actually, he never speaks about these astonishing modern Indian scientists who have contributed to the narrative of science in the world. You know, I mean,
cosmologists, physicists.
Physicists. Like, Boson is named after Satyan Bose. I mean, that's not his only claim to fame. He designed the Bose-Einstein statistics by which quantum mechanics is measured. He's a breakthrough scientist of the highest order. Any other culture would be celebrating him, you know. Jagdish Chandra Bose, who discovered conducted one of the first experiments in radio waves, which, you know, makes our conversation now possible. You know, these are acknowledged facts. I mean, scientists in America acknowledge this. So they should be much more part of our consciousness. So I'm saying, I'm only talking about one small part of modernity and what happened there. You know, we haven't recuperated those traditions as we should have. We're now busy recuperating the ancient texts, and in a very strange way.
And that's quite an odyssey of its own yet to come.
Yep. Yeah.
Amit Chaudhry, thanks so much. Author most recently of Odysseus Abroad.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.